Hi, you're tuned to Truth News Radio on the 25th of June, 2016. And today, ladies and gentlemen, it is a great pleasure to bring with you a very special interview with a very unique human being on the face of this planet. Some say, you know, the greatest conspiracy theorist in the world, whatever that means. Indeed, the word conspiracy theory is a word so loaded with bizarre connotations and interpretations and misuse that it is probably just best to introduce David Icke as a man who has looked deeply into the nature of reality, and what he's done in his life is somewhat confusing. And I must admit that I'm not, I don't fully understand what David Icke represents. I understand some aspects of what he talks about. Other things of what he talks about completely baffle me and seem a tad crazy, to be honest. And I've certainly not been a big fan of David Icke over the years, as anyone who's been following my show and following my forums and various websites that we've had set up over many, many years. But what I have noticed over time is that the issues that that we have in common have persisted and remain and really have increased in their importance. And that's why I feel that I feel more comfortable now about welcoming David Icke to Truth News Radio. So without further ado, I'm going to bring David Icke onto the show. David, welcome to Truth News Radio Australia.
Thank you.
It is great to have you aboard. And of course, you are about to start your world tour, and you will be in Australia, I believe, next month. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm leaving for Perth in about 11 days. I'll be in Perth on the 9th, and then I'm going each Saturday to Sydney, then to Brisbane, then to Melbourne, then to Auckland, ending on August the 6th there. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it.
Sounds terrific. And you've obviously built a large audience in Australia. Some of your earlier visits to Australia, you did a few lectures, but this time you're basically hitting every capital city. So there must be a lot of people turning out.
Yeah, there are. And, you know, it's a case of, you know, when I started out 26 years ago doing this, there was no alternative media worth the name. And you had to create your own channels. I mean, there was no internet as we know it now. And my first, if you can call it a speaking tour of Australia, was sitting in the back of a little car. It was a little car, scrumped up at the back, traveling through the day in the back of a car, started up in north of Brisbane, then down through Brisbane and Newcastle and Sydney, and then inland to Adelaide, and then down to Melbourne and across to Auckland. I actually managed to get a plane to Auckland rather than swim. But it was that basic. And you'd travel in the back of the car at night, in the day, and then you'd speak in the evening, hope someone would come. And then start the whole thing the next day. That's what it was like in those days. But of course,
when was your first visit to Australia in that capacity?
Oh, when would that be? That must have been 95, 96, something like that.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Wow. So that was pretty early on for you in your current career. Of course, you've had several careers in your life, and what you're doing now is sort of what you've been doing for the last 20 years or so. Is that about right?
Well, 26, but, you know, my other careers have been essential to what I've been doing since. My football career was essential because of the emotional gifts it gave me, because I had to finish my professional career having, you know, dreamed of being a footballer all my childhood with rheumatoid arthritis, and overcoming the disappointment of that and getting up and getting on with it was obviously very useful to what I'm doing now. And then I became a journalist, a newspaper journalist, and radio and television presenter, and then a national spokesman for the British Green Party. So by the time I'd stepped on this journey, which I obviously didn't know was coming at the time, I had quite a background of knowledge of how the media works and how politics works, etc., which would be very, very useful.
Yeah, and you've obviously brought, I mean, your knowledge of how to communicate has been incredibly important in developing your profile, but the information that you've brought forth, it is so, well, bizarre, really, to be honest, that
yeah, what's bizarre
creates,
about it?
Well, okay.
What's bizarre about it?
Well, when we look at the range of things that you've brought forth in your books and in, you know, successive different periods in your life where you've kind of talked about different things, some of it is stuff that I can totally relate to, which is basically the most important part of what we do on this show, which is looking at the erosion of basic freedoms and basic liberties in the West and the agendas of those who are behind kind of manipulating and controlling society, which appear to be working towards some sort of future state, which is going to be progressively limiting human freedoms. And this is what is sometimes described as the New World Order. And you've been one of the earliest people to really speak up about that. But in the course of doing that, you've raised these various theories. And, you know, this is something I'd like to get into a bit during this show, beginning with your books where you describe the reptilian stuff that's going on Earth, according to your understandings, and then other theories that you've put forward about, for example, what's going up on the moon. And some of this stuff
I'm just interested in the answer to the question, why do you call it bizarre?
Well, indeed. I mean, look, the whole world is bizarre, David. And I don't, in saying it's bizarre, think it is necessarily wrong in a sense that it is, to me, it is factually wrong, but it could be true in another sense. And this is kind of what I wanted to get into with you, because some people have attempted to interpret what you say on different levels. Some people interpret what you've talked about in your books on an allegorical level. Some people have described it as Swiftian satire. And I'm just like really, really interested to know from you directly as we speak now what these things you've talked about, which are, I mean, the things that you talk about in relation to the Orwellian superstate that's developing all around us are things that I can completely understand and everyone in our audience can completely understand. But when you've talked about bloodlines going back to ancient Babylon and some connection with an alien force on this earth, this is something that I and a lot of people just completely can't connect with, although we do sort of understand it metaphorically as perhaps representing something.
No, I'm not talking metaphorically. Let's a number of things come from that. Let's look at how long this conspiracy has been going, that is unfolding now. You don't create the control in the world that we have and the scale of it, the detail of it, in 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 5 years or 10 years. Even if you like, in the mainstream of alternative information, it's accepted that this conspiracy goes back centuries and centuries and centuries. Okay, so what's the common theme? Why were people working towards an end centuries ago that they would never see? There has to be a common theme, a common cement that traverses this long period and benefits in the end of where it's going. On the other side of, so the question is, what is that force? The other thing about bizarre, let's see what that word means. Let's put normal into some perspective. I think that'd be a very good way to start. According to mainstream science, the electromagnetic spectrum is 0.005% of what they say exists in the universe in energy, mass, matter, all the rest of it. 0.005%. Visible light, which is the only frequency band that we can see and perceive as a visual world, is a fraction of the 0.005%. If you look only within the 0.0 or the visible light within the 0.05%, then you look at this planet in comparison to the mainstream science belief in how big the universe is. On that basis, this planet, compared with the size of the universe, is the equivalent of 1/1,000,000,000 of a pinhead. So normal to people on a planet 1/1,000,000,000 the size of their pinhead comparatively, perceiving the most ludicrously narrow band of frequencies to have a visual world they can see, is only their version of normal. The almost entirety of existence exists beyond that frequency band of visible light. So I would not be arrogant and ignorant enough, I hope, to think that only that which I can see is that which needs to be explored to understand the nature of that which I can see. And all I'm saying, oh my goodness me, sits back in amazement. This is fantastic. This is so far out. That actually, this world is being influenced from within the great almost entirety of existence that we can't see. The nature of the human download of normal and its myopia is confirmed by the fact that exploring beyond the fraction of 0.005% on a planet 1/1,000,000,000 size of a pinhead comparatively is considered strange. I consider not exploring it ludicrous, never mind strange, because we cannot understand this world unless we understand that which this world connects with.
I'm totally in agreement with you in everything you just said. However, where I have trouble understanding the nature of what you talk about is that you've delved into some of this unknown, and we all can all agree there is so much unknown. You've delved into some of it and pulled some stuff out, which is rather unusual to most people's perception of the world.
And almost anything would be unusual to most people's perception of the world because we download a postage stamp version of normal from cradle to grave, and it's systematically downloaded to us. This is an important point. You know, I've just done an interview.
David, we're just going to break. We'll be right back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia, and we'll be right back after this short break. Very important interview today, folks. Don't go away.
Did you know that the Logos Radio Network is a truly listener-supported radio network? On top of the on-air talent, producers, and other hardworking individuals working behind the scenes, Logos Radio Network is kept on the air by the generous support of listeners like you. And we appreciate our loyal listeners making contributions every year in our annual fundraisers, which help keep the lights on and Logos Radio Network on the air. Head on over to LogosRadioNetwork.com to make your contribution. Every $25 donation enters you for a chance to win prizes from Central Texas Gun Works. First prize being a Spiked Skull lower receiver. Second prize being a Taurus Curve.
10 winners will receive gift cards from All About Vapor.
And if you donate your $25 contribution early enough, you will also receive a complimentary jar of My Magic Mud. Donations by all major credit cards are accepted, as well as contributions by Bitcoin. The Logos Radio Network fundraiser now through March 17th. Head on over to LogosRadioNetwork.com for more information and to donate to keep the Logos Radio Network on the air.
NonGMOSolutions.com is now a proud sponsor of the Logos Radio Network with promo code LOGOS. We thank you for the opportunity to be your source for New Manna Foods, the leader in high-quality food that you will truly enjoy. You'll find gluten-free options, and all products are free from high-fructose corn syrup, aspartame, soy, and MSG. Whether you're on a tight budget, looking for options to reduce food cost without compromising health, or securing long-term 25-year storable food for an uncertain future, then NonGMOSolutions.com is your common sense answer. Take advantage of a 10% discount with promo code LOGOS. No longer will you compromise taste and quality for full-term shelf life or eat poor quality food due to cost. Check out our flex pay options and design a no-contract plan to satisfy your needs. Go to NonGMOSolutions.com today and get 10% off with promo code LOGOS. That's NonGMOSolutions.com with promo code LOGOS.
Men and women of Earth, may I have your attention? This is Herewood Fenton, host of Truth News Radio Australia. You're invited to join the info war as we work to restore truth in media and challenge the dark forces which now dominate mainstream news. I'm calling on you, valued listener, to use your hard-earned dollars to help us smash the globalist empire. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe today. With Truth News Radio. And my guest today is David Icke. And of course, David Icke is going to be visiting Australia next month, touring around the country. And today, I'm really trying to ask the questions that I've always wanted to ask. And it's very difficult because I do understand, David, that these questions are very difficult to ask and very difficult for you to answer. And I don't know that you know what I'm actually trying to articulate, but what I'm trying to articulate to you in my questions is something that I've also received from a lot of other people who've talked to me about your work and have said, you know, well, I understand what he's talking about when he talks about the New World Order, but when he talks about this other stuff, I just don't know what the hell he's on. And that to me is like, that's a feedback that's come from many people. And you're deconstructing it and you're trying to interpret it as best you can. And I want to let you continue with that. So back over to you, David.
Well, you know, it's all in the personal perception. Now, let's make this clear, first of all. I'm not trying to persuade anyone of anything. I'm putting some information out there and they make of it what they will. If from their perspective it's bizarre, then don't look at it. Go and have a beer or something. Don't matter to me. But some people are willing to explore beyond the normal and they realize suddenly it's not bizarre. I mean, on Saturday in London, I spoke to 2,500 people for 10 hours and they were from every walk of life you can imagine, including people who at one point thought that Icke he's mad. What's he saying? But when they heard it put together, strand by strand by strand by strand, suddenly it was, whoa, I see it now. And, you know, when you are connecting vast numbers of dots across vast numbers of subjects and showing that they form a very clear picture, then you need time to do it. I mean, these events have about 1,600 illustrations as well. And so when you do an interview here, an interview there, or people hear this or hear that, what you're saying, they're hearing a dot. They're hearing a strand. They're not seeing the tapestry. But I was just doing an interview with someone else in Australia this morning, and we were chatting about the alternative media. And one of the points I made was, you know, we've reached the point, in my view, people do what they like, where the alternative media has got to start opening its own mind. Because people talk about the alternative media as if it's one entity. No, it's not. It starts on one end of the spectrum where it's almost imperceptibly different from the mainstream, and it goes right across to people like me who are questioning everything, and have a mind that says, I have no preconceived ideas, I just want to know what's going on. As Confucius, Socrates, many philosophers over the years have said, words to the effect of wisdom is knowing how little we know.
Yeah.
That keeps your mind open. And, you know, when you look at where this normal comes from which people then judge what is bizarre and what is normal and what is credible and what is not, because it doesn't conform to the normal. Much of the alternative media is also subject to that download of normal. It comes to it from a slightly different angle because it sees the way world events happen in a different way. But much of it, not all of it, nothing like all of it, but much of it comes from this perspective of normal. And this is the download that grabs and grasps the minds of the population from cradle to grave. Because let's talk about this, if we're talking about this five sense manipulation that we see, touch and taste. The number of people who are in full knowledge manipulating the world towards this Orwellian and then some global state of control are tiny compared with the population, the target population, tiny. So you can only do it through a deception of perception, which gets the target population to see the world the way you want them to see it, so that they will behave and accept things that suit the agenda and the direction you want to take the world. And this is where this download of normal comes from. Where do we get it from? Let's have a look at this. People come out of the womb, and they're immediately influenced by their parents in terms of their perception of reality. Their parents, who've been through the system they're about to go through, have bought it and thus are passing on those perceptions to their children. Within next to no time, they're sitting at a desk with an authority figure standing in front of them, telling them when they have to be there, when they can leave, when they can eat, when they can talk, when they can't. And telling them what is and isn't, what's possible, not what's not possible, and everything about the world and reality in all its multiple forms. And that representative is a representative of the state. Because if he or she, the teacher, does not teach the state's version of all those things, they won't be a teacher for very long. All the formative years, 5 days a week, and homework, are downloading this state version of everything. You then go to higher education. Now it's the same thing, but you're paying now for your own programming. So you're in debt for much of the rest of your life and therefore under control, needing to serve the system to pay back the system for programming you. You then go out into the world and you become a journalist or a doctor or a scientist or a CEO or a politician. And you take with you that base download of normal. And now all these institutions and people in them are confirming to each other, not least through journalism and mainstream media, that these versions of normal are actually normal. And then a journalist, for instance, a mainstream journalist, if they're talking about health, they won't go to do a story about an alternative practitioner or maybe have fantastic success in the area that this person's writing about. They go to a doctor because the normal, the postage stamp normal, says that only doctors know about health.
Yeah.
If they want to write an article about reality, they'll go to a scientist. They won't come to someone like me because the postage stamp says only scientists know about reality. And so it goes on. And then comes this other crucial area. The postage stamp normal and those who've downloaded it then protect the version of normal from all other borders and all other challenges, i.e. anyone that looks at this normal and says, well, actually, I've got some questions here and maybe I'm coming from a different angle. Maybe there's more to know than this normal. What happens is all the people who've downloaded normal then immediately respond, because these people are outside the normal. It's bizarre. It's crazy. You're mad, or you're dangerous, or whatever, you know. And so we must understand where these reflex action versions of normal come from, because then we might have a bit of reevaluation and say, well, hold on a minute. Maybe I should open my mind to the fact that on a planet a billionth the size of a pinhead in this tiny, tiny frequency range, there may actually be more to know than I've been told by the state school system. And so much of the alternative media, although it's seeing the five-sense reality from a slightly different angle, sometimes quite a different angle, and seeing how what appears to be one thing is actually another, much of it is still coming from getting its point of reference for everything from the postage stamp normal, which is why I get as much ridicule and abuse from the alternative media as I get from the mainstream media. It's because they may be different in some ways, but they're very much the same in so many others. We know, anyone listening, damn all about the reality that we're experiencing for all the reasons I've explained and more. And if we're going to understand this reality and how this conspiracy can work and how it can work in so much detail and how it can span the ages going on, pushing itself forward, then we've got to realize there are other forces at work and not just the ones that we see. But if people don't want to accept that, well, that's fair enough. I'm not bothered. It's just information. I mean, it's no big deal.
We are going to break. That was superb. Coming back with two more segments with Truth News Radio Australia, talking to David Icke. Don't go away, folks.
Special brain to devise the theory of relativity, but was Albert Einstein born super smart? I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll be back with details on new discoveries into the famous physicist's brain in a moment.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights. Say no to surveillance and keep your information to yourself. Privacy. It's worth hanging on to. This message is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
Albert Einstein had one of the greatest minds in history, but was he just born brainy, or did thinking about physics cause his brain to expand? Newly discovered photographs of Einstein's brain may hold the answer. It appears the great physicist did indeed have something special between his ears. Einstein's brain has folds rarely seen in other brains, plus an enlarged prefrontal cortex where people imagine events and simulate their consequences. Researchers don't yet know how these differences affected Einstein's remarkable IQ, but one thing's for sure, smarts had little to do with size. Einstein's brain was average-sized, relatively speaking, that is. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartPage.com, the world's most private search engine.
HempUSA.org has moved and expanded its operations for faster worldwide shipping. Our product line has grown from 5 to nearly 100 items in less than 5 years. Our food is grown naturally, always chemical-free, not found in stores. Great for daily intake and perfect for your emergency storage shelter. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you.
Rule of Law Radio is proud to offer the Rule of Law Traffic Seminar. In today's America, we live in an us-against-them society, and if we the people are ever going to have a free society, then we're going to have to stand and defend our own rights. Among those rights are the right to travel freely from place to place, the right to act in our own private capacity, and most importantly, the right to due process of law. Traffic courts afford us the least expensive opportunity to learn how to enforce and preserve our rights through due process. Former Sheriff's Deputy Eddie Craig, in conjunction with Rule of Law Radio, has put together the most comprehensive teaching tool available that will help you understand understand what due process is and how to hold courts to the rule of law. You can get your own copy of this invaluable material by going to ruleoflawradio.com and ordering your copy today. By ordering now, you'll receive a copy of Eddie's book, The Texas Transportation Code, The Law Versus the Lie, video and audio of the original 2009 seminar, hundreds of research documents, and other useful resource material. Learn how to fight for your rights with the help of this material from ruleoflawradio.com. Order your copy today, and together we can have the free society we all want and deserve.
Truth News Radio. My guest today is David Icke, and we are going into some fairly complex stuff. I've got some questions that I'm trying to put forward in a way that that David can respond meaningfully. Now, David, I want to just get back into what we were talking about there in the last segment, where you were talking about, again, what we don't know on such a grand scale as compared to what we do know, and that therefore we should be, we certainly should, the overconfidence that people have in their model of reality is one of the biggest problems that we have to face in dealing with the kind of tyranny that we see in the world, because it's the people's model, their people's worldview is keeping them locked in to a state wherein they're not able to achieve their potential. They are being, and progressively more and more so, becoming slaves. Now, what I want to do though is I want to address some of the points that you brought up in the last segment by referring to the history or the understanding of reality from the point of view of philosophy, where we have a concept of empirical reality and science, of course, modern science being the outcome of what they call an empirical approach to reality, which is observable, measurable phenomena that has led to a scientific worldview. Now, I'm a huge critic of a lot of what is called scientific fact today. So I'm certainly not someone who just agrees with something because it is called science. And global warming, vaccines, so many things to me don't even meet the standard of what science purports to be. But I want to actually talk more on the philosophical question with you, because when we get to the aspects of what you talk about of the nature of reality that appear to be non-empirical, they appear to be not verifiable through empirical means. That doesn't mean that they're wrong, because the history of religion, philosophy, there are different perspectives of looking at the world. And the quantifiable empirical perspective is one. But when we get back to some of these aspects of what has been in your books, which people would call the problematic aspects of your work, they appear to be all completely non-quantifiable, completely non-empirical, and yet you don't acknowledge that. You've put forward your views in your books about, for example, alien DNA being merged with human DNA, or some type of activity going on the moon, or the moon not actually being what we think it is, as if these were empirical facts, whereas to many observing what you say and trying to understand what you say, they look more like kind of revelatory kind of spiritual inspirations, or as some have said, that they could also be seen as satire. I mean, can you address these points at all?
Honestly, mate, that there are 7 billion plus people on this planet, and therefore they're all going to see things in a certain way, depending on where they're coming from. It's very simple what I do. I research information, and I come to conclusions from that research, and then I say, this is what I've concluded. In 1970, two Soviet scientists from the Soviet Academy of Soviet Sciences did a long article saying they thought the moon was at least partly constructed, and that it was not what it appeared to be. People can't explain why the moon is there. As one scientist in America said, the only thing you can say about the moon basically is it doesn't exist. Because it shouldn't. So, you know, and there was an excellent book written, Who Built the Moon, which looked at all this stuff. And so I put information in front of people. I say what I've concluded, and I leave it to them to then decide what they conclude. It's that simple. So if people want to conclude, oh, it's satire, what? Then they should conclude that, and that will be their reality. I mean, you know, here's some information. Make of it what you will. I'm off now. That's my way of doing it. Otherwise, if you're trying to tell people what they should believe, then or you're trying to look credible to people, then all you do is stay within their version of normal, and that takes us nowhere. And when you're talking about the reptilian thing, I mean, these reptilian entities and non-human entities of other kinds are talked about using different names by ancient peoples all over the world. And they talk about them in often very common themes. And you know, the idea that there's not some... I mean, are humans all that exist on this planet a billion size of a pinhead compared with the universe? I mean, it's unbelievable. So if people want to look at it and say, oh, yeah, well, you know, I mean, anything's possible, but it don't make sense to me. Fair enough. But to say by reflex action, and most of them say it without looking at anything I've said or written at length or said at length, nonsense. That is not a statement about me. That is a statement about them and their state of being. Remember this alternative media that looks at me and goes like that. That's what the mainstream do to you when you say that actually there's a conspiracy behind world events. You're just doing that to me because I'm going further in the rabbit hole than you prepared to go because you don't think that level of the rabbit hole exists. I do, and I'm not alone. I'm not even nearly alone. And when people hear it put together, as they will in Australia, over a day, what appears to be bizarre makes perfect logical sense once the dots are connected. But when you're talking about individual dots all the time, which is all you can do in programs like this and what have you, then obviously people are going to not see the picture that makes the apparently bizarre perfectly understandable and credible, because you can't bring all these elements in an interview of an hour.
You can just
like
interject. So just one question
about... You need illustrations to help that as well.
How do you respond to those who suggest that what you're doing is actually a type of disinformation? Because this is another type of criticism that's been made of your work. And let me explain what I mean. I mean, one of the things I do on this show is I try to deconstruct disinformation, which is everywhere in the media. Mainstream media is full of it. But of course, alternative media can contain disinformation just as mainstream can. Now, one of the types of disinformation which has been called out by some people is the type of disinformation which they say is like poisoning the well, where you take some valid information, some credible information, and you poison it with ludicrous theories to basically colour people's impressions of it and discredit it by association. And, you know, some examples of that to give you are some of the more extreme theories about what happened on September 11 that don't have an empirical basis of research behind them. It has been suggested that this was deliberate disinformation that was seeded in to the 9/11 truth campaign to discredit those who were trying to, bring a proper scientific investigation to the collapse of the Twin Towers. some aspects of the Kennedy assassination where people have said this or that. You know, they said the driver turned around and shot JFK, and the Zapruder film was edited. And I'm not saying, I'm not judging whether those are false or disinformation. Some of them do seem more bizarre than others. There's that word again. But when we say bizarre, we generally mean that we just feel that there's no solid empirical facts or empirical research we can hang on to it to feel confident about that. It's just like a wild assertion or a bald assertion based on someone's gut feeling. And with a lot of the extreme alternative views on what happened on 9/11, again, it's the same thing. People have just come forward and made very bold assertions, whereas others have done very meticulous, detailed scientific research, to find nanothermitic residues in the columns, which is completely within the standard approach of science. So we are just going to break. But if you could address those accusations about you, but also expand on what I'm talking about, we greatly appreciate it.
Not a problem.
You're with Truth News Radio Australia, talking to David Icke. Don't go away.
Advances in technology, our lives have greatly improved, except in the area of nutrition. People feed their pets better than they feed themselves, and it's time we changed all that. Our primary defense against aging and disease in this toxic environment is good nutrition. In a world where natural foods have been irradiated, adulterated, and mutilated, Youngevity can provide the nutrients you need. Logos Radio Network gets many requests to endorse all sorts of products, most of which we reject. We have come to trust Youngevity so much, we became a marketing distributor along with Alex Jones, Ben Fuchs, and many others. When you order from LogosRadioNetwork.com, your health will improve as you help support quality radio. As you realize the benefits of Youngevity, you may want to join us. As a distributor, you can experience improved health, help your friends and family, and increase your income. Order now.
Are you the plaintiff or defendant in a lawsuit? Win your case without an attorney with JurisDictionary, the affordable, easy-to-understand 4-CD course that will show you how in 24 hours, step-by-step. If you have a lawyer, know what your lawyer should be doing. If you don't have a lawyer, know what you should do for yourself. Thousands have won with our step-by-step course, and now you can too. JurisDictionary was created by a licensed attorney with 22 years of case-winning experience. Even if you're not in a lawsuit, you can learn what everyone should understand about the principles and practices that control our American courts. You'll receive our audio classroom, video seminar, tutorials, forms for civil cases, pro se tactics, and much more. Please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the banner or call toll-free 866-LAW-EASY.
What happens in terms of creating wars is a mind manipulation technique called problem-reaction-solution. And it works like this. First of all, you create the problem, but you get someone else to be blamed for it. You then report that problem through the media in the way you want it reported. You get the public to react to your problem by saying something must be done, this can't go on, what are they going to do about it?
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia, and I am with David Icke today, and we've got one more segment to go with this show. It's been a really, really interesting chat for me. And David, so in the last segment there, I raised some questions there at the end about this question of disinformation, this proposal that certain types of theories which are injected into alternative discourse or truther theories have been done deliberately, and that these are actually being done by people who have an agenda to hamper truth, to hamper the truth and justice, the evolution of a true understanding of what's going on in the world. And I know this is something that you're very interested in. As you say, this is your main driving thing, is that you are trying to bring the truth. So I'll let you respond to that in whichever way seems appropriate to you.
Well, first of all, truth is what people believe is true. So if they have a version of truth and someone has a different version of truth, then that person has a different version of truth to me, because I have the truth. Therefore, he can't be right because I have the truth. Therefore, he must be either wrong or trying to disinform. I keep coming back to this perception of normal. This is where people filter everything. And of course, disinformation happens. We've had a situation over here where I exposed in the late 1990s an elite paedophile ring based on the Westminster Parliament. And eventually, in 2012, it came out through even mainstream sources. What I'd been writing about and naming the names in the 1990s. To put the lid on it, they have bombarded that truth with disinformation by arresting people they shouldn't have arrested, using people to say things that can be discredited. Of course that happens. And that... oh God, I've moved my camera. The thing that people have to look at, however, and decide on is whether something is disinformation or whether it's just beyond their normal. And here's a guy. Yeah. You know, I'm just here to disinform and mislead. Right. I started out 26 years ago. Amid the most colossal historic levels of ridicule. And there was no alternative media. There was nothing to disinform. Within the mainstream of society, there was never a mention, an inkling of any conspiracy whatsoever. Everything was accepted for what it was. It was people like me in the early days and one or two others who were the pioneers of getting this stuff out there. What has happened is that I have decided that once I get to a certain point of uncovering more and more of the nature of what's going on in the world, and what is going on in the world from the normal perspective is absolutely bizarre. That's why when you uncover it, you are perceived as bizarre. It's hilarious, really, but understandable. And I kept going. I didn't stop at one level of the rabbit hole and say here or no further, because I don't care, you see, what people think of me. I don't want a statue. I want the truth. I don't want a round of applause. I want the truth. Therefore, there's nothing within me that says if I go any deeper in this, and I follow these trails of information, people are going to laugh at me and say, that guy's kind of must be mad talking about this stuff. It doesn't interest me. I have no filter of that kind. So I've kept going. And thus, when you keep going beyond where most people are prepared to go, either because they can't go there because they can't see that there's a need to go there, or they can but won't go there because of the consequences and the way they're seen, then you are obviously going to be walking a road that is outside where most people walk. Now, and that's another reason why information is, like from people like me, is delivered into the arena and perceived as that must be disinformation. You see, this is what people go through. I had an interview once, bizarre interview, with the guy that fronts up that conspiracy show on True TV. The guy who calls himself a Navy SEAL. You know the fellow.
Jesse Ventura. Yes.
That's the bloke. Yes. Wrestler. And it was a bizarre interview. He wouldn't talk to me or meet me before the interview. And I'd been ill for days. I could hardly, stand up. And I was about to do a talk for 9 hours. It was in the venue where I was about to talk. And they insisted on running the cameras first before he actually came in. And then he sat down and started the interview and started to have a go at me. And, you know, this reptilian, it's nonsense. I've never seen one and all that stuff. What I saw with him and what I see with so many other people, and again, we come back to normal. This is normal. That's not normal. So there's two reasons why this guy is saying that, or maybe three. One, he's mad. Two, it's to make money. I'm living in a one-bedroom flat. I'm talking to you from a one-bedroom flat here. You know, I mean, I've got a big mansion, not as big as Ventura's. It's a one-bedroom flat. And the other thing is, he's a disinformer. Because from the perspective of their normal, the fourth possibility, he could be saying something that has validity, is not even a starter. So it has to be one of the other three. And that's why, you know, he's only doing it for the money. He's mad. He's just disinforming. I hear it all the time. And it just goes in one ear and out the other. In fact, don't even do that. Don't touch the sides. So people just have to look at information, be adult, and decide what they make of it. And that's the end of it. You know, instead of and look at it on its merits, look at it in detail, look at it with the dots connected, and then make a decision. And realize that everybody has been subject to this download of normal all the way through their lives. And for people to ask themselves, how much is that download influencing my perceptions and reactions and responses to everything? Because if people do that and they're honest, they will realize that the answer to that, how much is that influencing them in all those aspects? It's absolutely massive. And one of the, if we're going to live in a free world, we have to free ourselves first.
And we have to free ourselves from
preconceived
ideas
that dismiss other people's ideas by reflex action. If they don't make sense to you, but you've looked at them, okay, fair enough. No problem. I have no problem with that. Yeah. But this reflex action dismissal, just because something sounds strange, is part of the reason that humanity is in the mind prison and the perception prison that it is.
Look, let me just say, I really do agree with what you're saying here. However, there is this aspect of society where we see what is a cult mentality often develops among people. And there have been so many different cults, and some of them that have been really quite destructive. And quite often, and I'm not saying you do this, because you're actually quite relaxed about whether people believe you or don't believe you. But still, cult mentalities do develop.
No, I'm not quite relaxed. I'm entirely relaxed.
Well, that's very important. But there is a tendency among people that I have noticed to develop into a cult mentality about certain beliefs that then become unchallengeable in themselves. And I'm the sort of person who likes to challenge every assertion. And just to give you one other example that we haven't talked about today, satanic ritual abuse. I did a show on this a couple of months ago. I knew nothing about it until fairly recently. It's not a subject that I'd gone into. It came up because there's been some very controversial statements made from people in Australia. I started to look into it. Now, I did a show on it based on quite a lot of research, quite a lot of looking into it. And my interpretation of what's going on with a lot of the material that goes under that name is that there has been a type of a false moral panic created. Now, you may disagree with that, but that is the basis, that is the outcome of my empirical research. And
Hold on a second here. Your empirical research.
Yeah.
For one radio show, I've been researching this for 26 years, this subject you're talking about.
I've talked
to people who suffered from it all over the world. I've talked to therapists who've treated them. I've talked to Satanists who've taken part in the rituals. That's empirical research, mate, if you want to use that term. Not for one show.
Right.
Please.
Well, I'm just telling you what I've done up to this point to inform myself. Right. So I'm informed myself.
But you're assuming from the point of view you're at that therefore you know that what you've decided it is true.
No, I haven't ruled anything out. I've reached a preliminary point of understanding based on the research I've done, which leads me to believe that there are a lot of people who are either delusional or telling lies in regard to this particular subject matter. And I'm pretty convinced of that. That doesn't mean that the whole topic is false. I'm not saying that. But so much of the material that has become very, very prominent, very controversial and very public, appears to be deeply questionable. And that's...
You name me a subject, any subject, and you will see people distorting it, telling lies about it, making things up about it.
Yeah.
Right? Of course that happens, but it's about being discerning. When you've researched it for as long as I have, in as many countries as I have, with as many people as I have, with as many people from different backgrounds and aspects of this as I have, then you realize that actually it is massively, massively important.
David, we are at the end of the hour. Sorry.
So much of what's happening in the world.
Sorry to interrupt. We are at the end of the hour. It has been awesome talking to you today. Thanks for making the time.
Right.
And
pleasure,
really
thanks.
Worthwhile. As Truth News Australia signing off, thanks, David Icke. Talk to you again one day, hopefully.
Bye.
That's all for today, folks. I hope you enjoyed the show. It's been pretty interesting for me. We'll be back next week. See you then.
Would you like to make more definite progress in your walk with God? Bibles for America is offering a free study Bible and a set of free Christian books that can really help. The New Testament Recovery Version is one of the most comprehensive study Bibles available today. It's an accurate translation, and it contains thousands of footnotes that will help you to know God and to know the meaning of life. The free books are a three-volume set called Basic Elements of the Christian Life. Chapter by chapter, Basic Elements of the Christian Life clearly presents God's plan of salvation, growing in Christ, and how to build up the church. To order your free New Testament Recovery Version and Basic Elements of the Christian Life, call Bibles for America toll-free at 888-551-0102. That's 888-551-0102. Or visit us online at bfa.org.
Looking for some truth?